Merry Christmas. Hey, find someone next to you and just say, hey, Merry Christmas. One of the joys we have in this Advent season is to have Advent readings giving us a little more information about the season we celebrate. And our family today, the Fuller family, you want to come up and share that with us.
Tonight is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow, the day we have waited for and prepared for, is finally here.
Tonight we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
As we waited for this day, we lit four candles.
The second time we lit the candle of love.
The first candle we lit was the candle of hope. And the second time we lit the candle of love.
The third time we lit the candle of joy.
The fourth candle we lit was the candle of peace.
Tonight on Christmas Eve, we also light the center white candle. This candle represents Jesus. When we light this candle, we remember Jesus' birth. Our waiting has ended.
Luke 2:1-11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.
When we look at the center candle, we remember that Jesus is the light of the world.
John 8:12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life.
God sent Jesus to give hope, peace, joy, and love to all people.
Far away from Bethlehem, wise men saw a star in the sky. They remind us that the gift of Jesus was not just for the people in one place, but for all people.
Matthew 2:1-2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him.
Matthew 2:10-11. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
God used the star to guide the wise men to Jesus.
God has guided us to the true meaning of Christmas during Advent. God has come into the world in Jesus Christ to be with us so that we will experience God's hope, joy, love, and peace. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus for all people. On this Christmas Eve, help us remember and rejoice again because Jesus was born. Help us live every day remembering your love and care and showing that love and care to others. Amen.
All right, as we move into our time of worship, I believe, how we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a scripture reading and then a song, and we're going to do that for the first five songs, and then we'll go from there. So our first reader is Dina Miller.
Isaiah 9:1-7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every brute of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
All right. Would you please stand as we sing our first song?
This next reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will continue in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be called impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Amen. If you guys could please stand again.
Luke 2:1-20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, to which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Please stand and sing.
Joyful and trust.
Matthew 2:1-8. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him."
Please stand and continue singing with us.
Thank you.
guys may be seated.
Matthew 2:9-15. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
All right, please stand and sing with us.
Rumor has it that there was a fourth angel, and when he arrived, he was politely dismissed because all I brought was fruitcake. I mean, who wants that, right? Except for my brother-in-law. We're bringing them tomorrow. He likes fruitcake. I don't know what that. Pardon me? The fourth wise man, yeah. No, he doesn't like the fourth wise man. He likes fruitcake. Okay, who likes fruitcake? Raise your hand. Both of us. All right. How about buttermilk? Oh, couple, same people. Good. So 200 years ago now, there was a guy who was a priest. Name was Joseph Moore. And on Christmas Eve, 1816, yeah, he wrote a poem called Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, and presented it to his parish. 2 years later, he was planning for the Christmas Eve service at their little church in Austria, and he discovered that the organ wasn't working right. And so he got a local musician and explained the problem and asked him to write a song to the poem that he was going to give him. The musician's name was Franz Gruber.
I don't believe that he was a relative of Hans Gruber, the bad guy in Die Hard. I don't know if you ever watched that Christmas movie. Some people think it's a Christmas movie. But Franz Gruber wrote the song for the guitar. And on Christmas Eve in 1818, the first time Silent Night was played. In German, it's Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. And that song became popular. It was sung in the royal halls in Vienna, Austria, eventually published, went throughout the Europe and into America, and finally someone put it to English in 1863, and that's the words that we sing when we sing Silent Night. Lately, in our services, we've been looking at Christmas songs and recognizing that songs have words, words have meaning, and meaning matters. And Silent Night is one of my favorites. And so today, we'll sing Silent Night. Would you join me, please? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. I suspect that it wasn't a silent night. I mean, we see it in the Bible, right? The angels came and they made their proclamation. That had not to have been quiet. It was a host, a heavenly host, singing hallelujah. And we also know that the shepherds took their cue from the angels and went to that first royal couple, Joseph and Mary, to see their baby. And maybe the drummer boy showed up. We don't know. But it wasn't very, I don't believe it was very silent, but I do know that night was holy. The holiness of that night began with what we heard our readers share with us today, that the Virgin Mary gave birth to a child conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the angel said, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called, what's it say? Holy, holy, the Son of God. You know, as by example, this sanctuary isn't a holy place because we call it the sanctuary. It's a holy place because holy things happen here. And that night was holy because something very holy was happening there. The holiness of that night continued with obedient parents. Not only was the child conceived by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph honored his commitment to Mary and to God by postponing his intimacy with his wife until after she gave birth. For Joseph knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That night was a holy night, set apart for the purposes and prophecies of God. A holy night carrying out the love of God for the people of the world. People not only then, but people right now, here as we listen. And the angels also talked about heavenly peace. And we sang about it. What is that? What is heavenly peace? See, that kind of peace is not the peace that happens when there's an absence of conflict or chaos. No, that kind of heavenly peace is what happens when in the midst of chaos and conflict, God's presence makes peace. Heavenly peace is what we seek for when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that moment, we are praying for God's peace that he would come down upon us from heaven. And such peace happens when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus, the one who will eventually grow up to give his life as a ransom for our own. Loved ones, this is true and lasting heavenly peace. Sing with me in verse 2. Silent night. hearts quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. The song says that the shepherds were afraid. And the Bible agrees. Shepherds were very, very afraid. Why? Well, from the glory streaming from heaven above, through the angels. Well, the Bible does not say that they were actually singing. They were saying. They had a lot to say. The silent night song says, hallelujah, they sang. Hebrew word for praise the Lord. But there's so much more. In Luke 2, it has already been read to us, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So not only are they praising the Lord, but again, we hear the angels talk about peace. True peace is found in the Creator God. And now the last verse. Silent night, holy night, Son of God. Love's pure light is the light of the world. His name is Jesus. At first glance, the idea of radiant beams seems kind of weird, doesn't it? Until, well, it isn't, because the Bible speaks of these beams, not in physical light necessarily, like a headlight, but spiritual glory found in our Creator God. The Bible says it this way, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is talking about Jesus and the glory he has to offer us. And this glory invites us to become more like Jesus every day. Paul said, and we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The radiant beams we're talking about here, they come not from the baby, not only from the baby in the manger, but also from the baby as he grows to be a man. From Jesus and the Spirit he gives us that's found within the hearts of all who believe in him. But wait, there's actually more. This song celebrates that the beginning of God's work on earth through his Son starts now. Starts now with the dawn of redeeming grace. You see, here we sing that the light is coming to the world. This light is what Jesus would call later himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The light is the life found in Jesus, who even as they laid him in the manger, was Lord in that moment. Lord in the manger. The silent night, the holy night, celebrated by angels and shepherds, brought something into the world unheard of since our first parents lost their place in the garden. And when we sing of it, when we sing, as we did a moment ago, sleep in heavenly peace, such a phrase is not just for Jesus. It's for you. It's for me. Because when we trust in him, that heavenly peace comes to us. Jesus came so that we can have true and lasting peace. About 100 years after this song was written, a war started, August in 1914. It was a great war, they called it. It killed so many people more than wars before it. It was automated. The artillery, the technology was just too much. Started in August of that year. By November, trench warfare had come in, where each side, the Central Powers led by Germany, the Allies led by Great Britain and France, were against each other, carving in these in the earth, these trenches, supposedly temporary, became quite permanent. Soldiers endured in those trenches in human conditions. Constant mud, water, leading to trench foot, rats, lice, disease. It was horrific. Periods of boredom racked by periods of terror as artillery shells came over, and later as they had to face attacks of poisonous gas. In between the trenches was a no man's land, a no man's land that was filled with unexploded artillery, strafed with machine gun fire. It was a place of despair. And then the day of Christmas, I guess we could call that a truly a silent night, because the guns stopped. And you could hear across the no man's land even what people were saying, because the sound crossed so easily. And one night, Christmas Eve, 1914, the British heard the Germans singing, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. And they joined in. All is calm, all is bright. Got to get my German out here. Nur das treute hochheilige Paar, holy infant so meek and so mild, schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe, sleep in heavenly peace. They were singing together. The day before, they were shooting at each other. And then, I don't know if it was the German side or the American, or the Americans hadn't joined yet, the German side or the Great Britain side, but someone plucked up the courage to climb the ladder out of the trench and go into no man's land. Arms out, unarmed. It's a miracle he wasn't shot. But then, the other side, someone brave enough came up. And then more came out. And in a few minutes, no man's land was filled with Germans and Brits shaking one another's hands, saying Merry Christmas. That was the Christmas truce of 1914. This is what one private said. Private Frederick Davies of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. The Germans were only 50 yards away from us in the trenches. They came out and we went to meet them. We shook hands with them. We gave them cigarettes, jam, and corned beef. And they gave us cigars. Listen, I had a good chat with the Germans on Christmas Day. There were reports of pickup games of soccer. They were telling each other about their loved ones and showing pictures of who they missed back home. There was peace for a few hours, a few days. Their commanders were not happy once they found out. They threatened court-martial if anyone tried something like that again. And I often think, what would it have been like if those commanders, those leaders, would have taken cues from those that were actually in the trenches and changed their way a little bit? That war stretched on for another 4 years, and the casualties mounted up to 37 million people were killed, wounded, or missing. What if instead of condemning such peace, they would have honored it, engaged in peace talks and saving millions? It takes a brave soul to climb the ladder and to go into the no man's land. But as we sit here, as we breathe, here at this Christmas, stretching into 2026, we can be that brave soul. Peace is up to you and me. Jesus called those who did what they did on that night peacemakers. See, peacekeeping doesn't take much risk. Peacemaking is risky. Unarmed, going into no man's land. And Jesus died on the cross so that you and I might have peace. And you and I might share that peace with somebody else. Peace with God and peace with each other. I wonder if this Christmas, each one of us, throughout 2026, could engage in a time of peace. See, there will be others around you who won't want you to climb out of those trenches. They'll try to talk you out of it. But God has called us to a deeper peace. He's called us to a reconciled relationship with him. That cross behind me has two pieces. The vertical piece represents the peace that we can have with God through his son, Jesus Christ. A reconciled relationship. The piece of the cross that goes horizontal is representing the peace of God that's available as we have reconciled relationships with each other. And like that Christmas truce so long ago, God calls us to look at others. Look at others not as enemies, but as those who are also made in the image of the Creator God. Stop and think. God calls us to be at peace so far as it depends on us. Are you at peace with God? Have you received the gift found in the baby in the manger? Have you put your trust in him, Jesus, and received the eternal life found only in his saving work on the cross? Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with others? Who needs you to get out of the trench of isolation, unarmed, and seek peace? However God calls you out of the trench into the no man's land, whether it be that first step that will take you to an eternal relationship with Christ, or that first step that takes you to a reconciled relationship with someone around you, who needs you to get out of that trench? Because we need each other. And sometimes it takes the bravest soul to reach out a hand and say Merry Christmas to those who the day before might have been your enemy. There's a reason why peace with God comes first, loved ones. For with peace from God comes the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God within us gives us power to do what is right. Stepping out of the no man's land of lost relationships and seeking the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus indeed came so that we could have true peace, lasting peace, and heavenly peace. So if you would, bow your heads right now. Just bow your heads and think. And ask the Lord, just right there in your pew, ask the Lord, Lord, with whom do I need to make peace? Is it you? Is it someone? Bring their name to me, my mind, and give me great courage to climb up those stairs and make it right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Each year, my favorite part of this whole service is the candlelight part. And so what it represents is you receiving, worship team, come on up, receiving the light of Christ and sharing that light with others. That light of Christ also includes the peace that he offers. So today, as we light our candles, my prayer is that we will take the peace that God gives us and share that peace with someone else. As I light these candles, as we share the light throughout here, please be careful with it, with those around you.
Thank you.
Okay, this next song that we're going to sing, it's become a bit of a tradition for us here at East Canton Church of God. It's to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, which normally, when we would think of that song, you may think New Year's. Like, why are we singing this song on Christmas Eve? This is a New Year's song. So what this song has come to mean to us is that as we come out of this season of Christmas, as we go into the new year, we are doing so remembering that all glory goes to Christ. So this song, it's called All Glory Be to Christ. It's sung to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, but it has some different words. So as we're singing this, we're doing so with the thought that we are carrying Christ with us into the new year, Amen. Into our lives moving forward.
Amen.
So. Thank you.
please extinguish your candles carefully? You've heard the gospel message today. You've heard the Christmas story. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely so that your whole soul, body, and spirit be kept blameless. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he come soon. God bless you. Go in his peace. Merry Christmas.
Merry.